Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia.
All right, it's Harvey Wasserman back for another Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We are all recovering from the horrific debate last night, the last, thank God, of three terrible debates between two terrible candidates, as far as I'm concerned, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. You can call in and yell about that if you want. We're at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. We're going to talk politics today, and then I'll have a guest later on if he shows up. So this was the third and hopefully final debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and as you know, and it was just another rock bottom performance. I think that Hillary Clinton got better as the debates went on, but she had the perfect foil there. Donald Trump exceeded all our negative expectations by absolutely wallowing around in the gutter and displaying his endless ignorance. And there's a couple of things I want to talk to you about today. Donald Trump, and I have a piece about this on reader-supported news with Bob Fitrakis. It's called Donald Trump's racist, and then quote, election rigging attack is an old American story. And basically what we've had from Donald Trump is an assault on black and Hispanic voters, have been disenfranchised by the millions already. And what Trump has been doing is he's been claiming that this is going to be a rigged election because too many people of color are going to vote. And, you know, we've all heard the yapping about people swarming over the borders and people coming out of the ghettos where life is awful and you can't walk down the street without being shot. Of course, he forgets to mention that if you're walking down the street and you're shot, you've probably been shot by a police officer. And it goes on and on. And now, most disturbing and most dangerous of all is that Trump is talking about having his so-called volunteers, his supporters, going to the polls to monitor the voting of people who show up. And we all know what this means. This means that this is going to be a Ku Klux Klan, Nazi-style attack on people of color who attempt to vote. And it's really not since the Ku Klux Klan was running wild in the South have we heard anything like this. And so it's really, really something to hear this from Donald Trump. And I got to go through the basics for it. As many of you know, I have co-authored with Bob Fitrakis, 6 or 7 books. We've lost count already on election protection and election theft. And this came out of our work in Central Ohio in 2004, where we witnessed the theft of the presidential election by the George W. Bush campaign, spearheaded in Ohio by the Secretary of State at the time, J. Kenneth Blackwell, a Republican. And we had a Republican governor at the time in Ohio, Robert Taft. And between the two of them and a personal visit on election day by Karl Rove and George W. Bush in Columbus, Rove and Bush flew to Central Ohio on election day, 2004. So apparently, and they met with J. Kenneth Blackwell in the Secretary of State's office. This is not conspiracy theory. Well, I guess you could call it a conspiracy theory, except that it's actually true, and we know it's true, and it's 100% confirmed. So on Election Day in 2004, George W. Bush and Karl Rove arrive in Columbus and have a meeting. No public presentations by Bush that day, no speeches. You would think on an election day in a swing state that the incumbent president who's running for re-election would at least hold a public rally if he shows up in town, but they didn't do that. They just went to the Secretary of State's office and talked with J. Kenneth Blackwell, the Secretary of State, about what we don't exactly know, but I can tell you pretty much what was said. And what was said between these guys is how Kenneth, I'm sure Karl Rove was doing the talking, will we steal this election? And what they did in Ohio 2004 is exactly what Donald Trump is advocating, basically. This idea that people vote multiple times, that they show up in droves and they vote and they vote and they vote. And, of course, they're all going to be people of color and Hispanics and blacks, and that's how our elections are rigged, in Trump's phrase. This doesn't happen. Multiple voting in the United States does not happen. It's a five-year felony. You have to show up in large numbers of people voting again and again and again, somehow fooling the people at the registrar's office and coming in there and by the millions to vote and change elections. It doesn't happen, folks. It's never happened, at least not in since the mid-20th century. We could probably make a case that prior to World War II, there may have been cases where, and certainly in the cities, certainly in places like New York and Boston, where whole neighborhoods came out and voted and voted and voted, as they say, early and often. But by the end of the 20th century, this was done. This was just a five-year felony. People aren't going to show up again and again and again to cast a fraudulent ballot and look at 5 years in prison. Just doesn't happen. So, but Trump, Donald Trump, our simple-minded, you know, vicious, nasty billionaire here, our own very own little Mussolini, has been yelling that people are crossing the borders and they're coming out of the ghettos, swarming to the ballot places, which, of course, have been moved, and casting innumerable ballots that are going to somehow rig the election for Hillary Clinton and against him. And what I got to tell you here, and this piece is out now, it's at reader-supported news. It'll be on the PRN website. It'll be all over the country by the end of the day, all over the Internet. Trump's racist so-called election rigging attack, and it is an old American story. That's the title. It's co-written with Bob Fitrakis, and basically it points out the following. First of all, in today's atmosphere, multiple voting is simply not possible, it's not a factor, because what the real factor in our elections are twofold: stripping and flipping. First, the stripping. Trump wants blacks and Hispanics not to vote. And he's set up this very troubling dynamic where his followers are going to show up at the polls, and they're going to monitor the polls, and they're going to scare the hell out of especially people of color who are coming to vote. And that could have a major impact on the outcome of this election. You know, because police regularly gun down black people, and because police regularly arrest people of color for no apparent reason, and because police take money, cash, from people who have it, mostly people of color, if people of color are going to the polls and they see or are accosted by fascistic followers of Donald Trump threatening with violence and whatever else they're going to do, this is going to prevent many, many tens of thousands of people from not voting. And these will be basically supporters of Hillary Clinton, or possibly, I guess if someone's savvy enough to vote for Jill Stein, they're probably not going to be intimidated. But certainly the average American who goes to the polls to vote and is confronted by we would presume, someone pretty aggressive, claiming to be from the Trump campaign, they're going to be inclined to turn around and go home. I mean, there is no great security in casting your ballot in this country. Quite the opposite, as we'll see. And so, you know, in the interest of so-called not allowing the election to be rigged, we're going to have basically thugs at the polling places, especially where black people and Hispanics vote in great number, whose sole purpose it will be to prevent them from voting. And this is, of course, a throwback to the Ku Klux Klan South. These people who are going to be coming to the polls are basically going to be doing what the Ku Klux Klan did and has continued to do in the South, you know, throughout our history, which is to prevent black people from voting. And so when Trump yells and screams about a rigged election, he's also talking, and we go deeper into this, about the, basically he's talking about stripping people of their right to vote. And this is already happening across the United States. In more than two dozen states, there is being used by Republican secretaries of state a computer program called CrossCheck. And what CrossCheck does is it relates names of people on voter rolls to names of convicted felons. But it ignores things like middle initials. It ignores things like different spellings. It ignores things like people living in different states. It's basically a scam set up by a guy named Chris Kobach, who's the Secretary of State in Kansas, and a fundamentalist Christian Republican operative. And the whole purpose of the exercise of this particular piece of software and its application to our national voter rolls is basically to strip blacks, Hispanics, young people, and elders who might be inclined to vote Democratic from the voter rolls. And we're talking, not talking here about a couple thousand people here and there. We're talking about millions of American voters who are being finding themselves being stripped off of electronic registration polls, or poll books, as we call them, in the various precincts. And this is exactly, of course, what Donald Trump would want. This is what the Republican Party has needed to stay in power all these years, at least in the Congress and in the majority of state houses in the United States. And it's really the state houses that are the big prize here. What Trump is doing is complaining about what's actually being done, or complaining that what's being done is not being done, which is the removal of probably a tipping point number of people of color from the voter rolls in the United States. And in many, many cases, you have elderly blacks and Hispanics who are American citizens, who are born here, who are following the law, never been arrested, never done anything wrong, who are just being removed quietly from the voter rolls by these machines. It's a staggering reality in a country that is supposed to be a democracy. But the fact of the matter is that in numerous states, especially in the South, the number of black people who are being removed from the ballot will exceed the margin of victory for the Republican Party in governor races, congressional races, U.S. Senate races, and legislative races where the control of the state legislature is at stake. Now, this is very, very serious. They may not be able to prevent enough blacks and Hispanics from voting this time around to stop Hillary Clinton from winning the presidency. After these debates, I think her likely margin of victory is going to be way in excess of the number of people that they're going to be able to strip off the voter rolls. There is only so far they can go with this stuff. And so I'm going to say that even with the use of cross-check and the intimidation that Trump is talking about putting out there, they're not going to be able to prevent enough people of color from voting to stop Hillary Clinton from getting elected. But and this is a really big and serious caveat here, they will be able to eliminate enough minority and young voters from the voter rolls to swing the Senate. And this happened in 2014, and we heard not a word about it. But in three key U.S. Senate races, in North Carolina, Alaska, and Colorado, the Republican Party was able to do enough stripping and flipping, stripping the voter rolls and flipping the electronic vote count, to give themselves three additional U.S. Senate seats. So depending on how we count it, the Republicans, the counting for the independents, the Republicans now have a 53-47 majority in the U.S. Senate. They would not have had this had they not stolen those three U.S. Senate races in North Carolina, Colorado, and Alaska. And so now, you know, the whole world is concerned about what's going to happen with the U.S. Supreme Court, and will Hillary Clinton, when she most likely defeats Donald Trump, will she have enough Senate votes to appoint decent people to the U.S. Supreme Court? Now, there are a lot of things that can be said about Hillary Clinton. I will say some of them as we proceed through this show. But one of them is that she will definitely make better Supreme Court appointments than Donald Trump will. She has, for example, a vested interest in getting rid of the Citizens United decision. The Citizens United decision gave corporations a consent, the idea that corporations should have human rights, and that a corporation is entitled to use the First Amendment to spend as much money as they damn well please on any political campaign. Now, this has been prevented since 1907 by the Tillman Act, which was supported by and signed by Theodore Roosevelt, a Republican president. And the Tillman Act and other legislation have limited the amounts of money that a corporation can spend directly on a Senate election. And it has provided some protection from the incredible corruption that's involved when representatives and senators are elected with corporate money. They just kneel down and take all the money that they can get from corporations, and then they vote the way of the corporations. And so the Tillman Act was meant to stop that. And it actually worked pretty well through the 20th century. Then came the 2010 Citizens United decision. Citizens United basically said the court voted 5-4, the usual suspects. Scalia, who has gone to a better place, maybe they'll send him back to law school up there and maybe he'll find a heart. Scalia and Thomas, the two bad boys of the court, and then Alito, and Kennedy, and the one other whose name escapes me. Roberts, of course, is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. So you've had five very conservative judges up there, and they ruled in the Citizens United decision that corporations can spend all the money they want without accounting for it on our political campaigns, and that they were entitled to it. And this vote arrives of 30 U.S. The vote of the Supreme Court meant that the corporations could spend all the money they wanted and could not be regulated in any way, shape, or form. This involved a film that was made attacking Hillary Clinton. And I'm glad it was, because Clinton seems to be somewhat sensitive now to what's happening with Citizens United, and has very explicitly gone out of her way to say that if she has the chance, she will overturn it. And so she will have the option,
if she gets a Senate majority to appoint new justices. Now, we do have 8 justices on the Supreme Court at this point. Thankfully, the seat that was polluted by Antonin Scalia. And it is presumed that she will assert a point of least judges who will will overturn Citizens United and will protect Roe v. Wade, which guarantees a woman's right to choose, among other things. I'm not going to go too far in terms of the types of appointments that Hillary Clinton's going to make, but we can certainly presume that they will not be people who are going to overturn Roe v. Wade, and most likely they will extend some protection to the public against the corporations. But in order to do this, Hillary Clinton needs a 51 Democratic senators. Now, without a word, without a peep, the Democrats allowed 3 U.S. Senate seats to be stolen in 2014. These seats were North Carolina, Alaska, and Colorado. And these were races that where the Democrats clearly won in the exit polls, and there were all indications that in a legitimate vote count, where the number of people who were eligible could actually be allowed to vote, these 3 Senate seats would have gone to the Democrats, not the Republicans. And now we have a similar situation in 2016. There are 33 or 34 U.S. Senate seats that are up for grabs because we do elect or re-elect a third of the U.S. Senate, which is 100 senators, every 2 years. The seats are staggered, of course. And so in order to win back the Senate, to get her enough seats to get to vote in, decent U.S. Supreme Court justices, which hopefully she'll appoint, the Democrats have to pick up 4 U.S. Senate seats. And frankly, we're not going to do it unless 2 things happen. First of all, stripping of the voter rolls ends, and people who are of color who are eligible to vote are restored to their eligibility. And these computer programs that are being used to strip the people of color off the voter rolls is reversed. This is not going to happen easily, folks. You have these a number of key states, including Florida, Ohio, Michigan, Iowa, Arizona, that have a Republican governor and a Republican secretary of state. And they may not. Trump has been such a spectacularly failed candidate. They may not be able to strip enough voters and slick enough votes in this election to deny Hillary Clinton the White House. Not that they would need to, because she's such a corporate candidate anyway. But the fact is that I don't think it's going to be very tough for them to put Donald Trump in the White House. But they do have the power, obviously, the leverage, to go ahead and play games with the Senate race. And next is very, very dangerous. And people who are guardedly optimistic about the Democrats taking the Senate so that we can have a decent Supreme Court are really kidding themselves. And I'm telling you right now that if something isn't done and soon, and if they don't face this reality, we're going to have a Republican Senate, and Hillary Clinton is probably not going to be able to appoint the kinds of justices that we need in order to restore the Supreme Court. So that's something we all need to think about. And let's talk real quickly now, before I go on to other things, about the electronic voting machines, okay? We know that, we know that the Republicans have been stripping people of color from the voter rolls. We also, and Trump has talked about this, the New York Times has talked about this, some of the Democrats have talked about this, and it's no longer a secret that this is being done. And they're doing it, and not only through computer programs,
and also through demanding a photo ID, getting rid of precincts, having people come to vote where the voting machines somehow break down, spreading disinformation about where to go vote, telling people to vote on Wednesday, not on Tuesday, and, of course, intimidating people on the ways to the polls. And that's what Donald Trump's people are going to do on Election Day. It's going to be a very serious situation, by the way. I can envision plenty of thugs out there in Trump sweatshirts confronting black people and Hispanics on their, and young people on their way to the polls and doing their very best to prevent them from voting. This is about as ugly as it gets. This is fascism. And this is something that we can predict is very likely to happen on Election Day. And it's a terrible tragedy in our country that this will be happening. But it's going to happen, and it's happening already through electronic machines and electronic means. The second part of the strip and flip, and our book, by the way, is entitled The Strip and Flip Election of 2016, Five Jim Crows and Electronic Election Theft. And what we're looking at here is an election in 2016 where 80% of the votes, 80% of the votes are going to be cast and counted on electronic voting machines. Now, a little more, or somewhere around half of that, it's hard to get precise numbers, but somewhere around half of the votes that are going to be cast on electronic by electronic machines will also be done with Scantron cards. These are computer cards where you blacken in or punch out what do you want to vote for, and then it's counted on computerized machines. And this Scantron balloting allegedly gives us a paper trail that can be recounted in a contested election. But don't count on that, because these Scantron ballots are very easily corrupted, and they are counted on machines that are very easily flipped around. We saw a lot of that in Ohio 2004. And we'll see a lot of it again in the 2014 election. So the other votes, at least 40, maybe 50% or more of the votes counted in the United States in this election are going to be done on touchscreen machines. Mm-hmm. And this is where you go up to the machine and you press the, you got a screen in front of you, you got a TV screen or computer screen, and you touch the name of the person you want to vote for, and somehow, hopefully, pray God, we call it push and pray voting, your vote is somehow counted accurately. And this is a complete scam. It's nonsense. There is no way that a vote cast on an electronic voting machine can be monitored, nor can the people who ultimately count these ballots, so-called ballots, be trusted or be held accountable. And this is push and pray voting. This is a complete black box, as Ben Harris has called it, exercise in self-deception. Because anything you do on a computer screen is completely up for grabs. Now, in a supermarket or in a bank, you get a paper trail. You get stuff that you can look at and confirm how you spent your money or how you deposited money into your account. But in the voting place, in today's with today's voting machines, it's completely up for grabs. And the Secretary of State, along with the governor, can take your vote and make it whatever they want. Now, there's a new thing that's come up that Bev Harris has discovered and has written about, along with a guy named John Brakey in Arizona. Mimi Kennedy has talked a lot about this. It's called fraction magic. And what they do with this is they don't give you an entire vote. When you go and cast your vote, it's segmented into electronic subdivisions and allows them to play with it and make your vote into basically a piece of pie that they can cut up and throw around and pretend. So you have voted, but you don't get a full vote.
they manipulate the vote count digitally, and maybe you get a third or a half or a quarter credit towards your candidate, but they take the rest of it and throw it to wherever they want. And I know that this sounds a little out there, a little conspiratorial, but the reality is that there is a conspiracy. We know in Ohio 2004 that John Kerry was the rightful winner at 12:20 at night.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground.
Hey, we're back. Listen, I had a little technical problem here, and our guest never showed up, but that's okay. If you want to call in, I'm at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. We're talking about the election, the horrific debates, and how this election actually can and is being rigged. I mean, there's no more if, and, or buts about whether this election is being rigged. It's the opposite of what Donald Trump says. Trump is saying that, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the show, people of color are going to come swarming in and vote six times each. Huh? He's called? The guest is called?
Hello?
Well, it's about time. So, okay, but listen, let me finish this up. We are looking at an election now that's going to be turned however the hell that people want it. The Republican Party has the upper hand. They can shape the U.S. Senate. They stole three seats in 2014, and they can steal pretty much as – they really don't have to steal many in 2016 to prevent the only really meaningful difference in the long run that Hillary can make in history, which is to put – decent people on the U.S. Supreme Court. And if we don't have a 51-seat a majority of Democrats in the U.S. Senate, she's not going to be able to shape the court. And believe me, through the stripping and flipping mechanisms that are available to the Republicans, they can prevent this from happening. So take a look at our new piece today. Bob Patricius and I have repeated reader-supported news. And also take a look at our book, The Strip and Flip Selection of 2016, which is available at www.freepress.org and at solartopia.org, my personal website. Okay, we have our guest now. I'm sure there were good reasons why he's late. You want to identify yourself? Tell us who you are.
My name is Steve Miller. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. I didn't know we were going to be together today on the air.
Okay, well, Irene Proctor set this up, and you're with us now, so let's make the most of it.
Absolutely. How are you?
All right. So you have written extensively about guardianships, and this is a big deal in our society. What is the name of your book and your website?
Okay, well, it's a book that I'm representing. I'm not the author, but the book is entitled Guardianship, How Judges and Lawyers Steal Your Money by M. Larson. And I have contributed to that book. I personally am a columnist for Rick Perrello's AmericanMafia.com, and I write mainly about organized crime and political corruption. And the subject of guardianship fraud fell into my lap back in about 1999, and I began writing stories for the Las Vegas Tribune and then later for AmericanMafia.com. Many of those stories have been picked up nationally, and I guess that's why I'm on this program today.
Okay, so what does your we were going to talk a bit about guardianships, but what does your expertise tell us about what's happening with this election and the conflict between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton versus the people who really should be up there, Jill Stein and the rest of us at the grassroots?
Well, the only thing that I have to say in regard to this election is that we, within the state of Nevada, have had a problem with our attorney general who's running for Hillary Reid's old seat. And in regard to guardianship, this attorney general, her name is Catherine Cortez Masto, ignored all of the complaints that were filed by family members and or by victims of this guardianship racket. So that's my only involvement in the current election at this time. I would like to see someone other than herself be elected to Hillary Reid's
office. And is she a Republican?
She is a Democrat. There is a Republican running against her. I'm trying to remain neutral. I'm a nonpartisan. So I simply am giving out information in regard to her performance over the years she was our attorney general.
Okay, so give us a few minutes here on guardianships and how they impact your work and what you've got to say about them. I know a bit about the field and the corruption that's involved, so why don't you tell us the basic story?
It's a new cancer in the United States, but it emanated first out of Las Vegas, one of the meccas for retirement, where people were enticed by very expensive four-color brochures to come and move here from usually colder climates and move into one of these gorgeous golf course communities that we have here, also in Florida and or in Arizona. There are numbers of these places on lakes and golf courses where rather wealthy elderly people decide to retire and spend their golden years, but they become marks for a group of unscrupulous people, those being private guardians and the judges and lawyers who support them. And people find themselves being fleeced of their entire fortune, all of their assets, while their family members watch and can't intervene. Here in the state of Nevada, it's become an art.
Tell us about it. How does it work?
The person is brought here by the enticement of living in a beautiful warm spot on the face of the earth in the Sun Belt. They buy usually a very expensive home on a golf course. It could be in a Sun City community. The first thing that happens is the couple, and it's always a married couple, is invited to a wealth management seminar, usually in the country clubhouse, and they are then introduced to a group of attorneys who offer them their services, sometimes for nothing, to set up family trust and or to try and bring their wills up to date. But in the meantime, they're being watched closely to see what their assets are, to see if they would be marks somewhere down the line when a spouse dies. As soon as the spouse dies, the survivor is usually in a state of emotional distress to the extent that a guardian, a private guardian, can go into the family court and petition to have that person put under estate guardianship or made a ward of the court. Usually, they say, for a temporary period of time, but it always remains until they die. And the person who's assigned as the guardian has full power of attorney to completely drain the bank account, take the real estate, and completely shut out any family members who come in to try and stop it. That's what we've had happening here in our state for about two decades, and we're starting to find out that it's happening all over the United States to elderly and disabled wealthy people.
God, that's a terrifying scam. What happens to people's Social Security and Medicare?
Well, the guardian actually becomes that person, Harvey. The guardians will actually, it's almost like that old B-movie, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. The court will actually assign the guardian to become the person whom they're to be the guardian of. And the person, in many cases, were not even invited to the courtroom when this procedure took place. Finds out after the fact that all of their bank accounts and their real estate has been transferred into the name of a private guardian by some judge in a family court. And we then start looking closely, as we began investigating this, to find out what are the ties between the guardians and the family court judges. In Las Vegas, we find that the main guardian, the one that's most suspicious, owns the outdoor advertising companies that donate the billboards to the judges during their campaigns. So then the judges are subservient to this particular guardian who doubles as the owner of an outdoor billboard company. And that's how we tied the two together. And so at this point, we're exposing that. We managed to get several of the judges who were very overly friendly with this guardian to be removed, at least from these kind of cases. We've only put one of the guardians in prison so far, but there are numbers of others who need to go to prison. And we've changed some laws in our state legislature. But in the meantime, it's spreading around the country. And I'm finding out in other states, they're just beginning this racket. And we're probably at the end of our racket here in Nevada. But it started to proliferate itself throughout the country to other Sun Belt communities that retirees seem to be gravitating to.
God, that is truly astounding. It's so right up there with the asset seizures being perpetrated by the police departments when, you know, in the name of the drug war and anti-terrorism, if people are walking around with cash, cops will just take their cash.
It's all under the guise of the law. It's all under color of law. And this is where it becomes sickening. And it was back in 2014, CBS 60 Minutes sent out one of their top producers, one who had been there since the 1960s, to interview me and interview a guardian who was serving time in our state prison and interview a number of the witnesses and or victims and their family members. And then after spending almost 6 months in production to put together one of their 15-minute segments, I was informed in October of 2014 that they weren't going to air their segment. And when I asked them why, they said, because everything is legal in your state that we've been trying to uncover. It's all legal. It's all covered by Nevada revised statutes. And that's correct. And I said, well, that is the story. And, you know, the story should be, how did these horrible laws get on the books, whereas these judges could do this to people? And that was something I was hoping 60 Minutes would have followed up on, but they never did. Somebody else should, though. And we've begun to change those laws the last legislative session. We're working on it for the next legislative session, and hopefully with the help of our state's largest newspaper and our ABC TV affiliate here in Las Vegas and my personal work that I do and the Vegas Voice, a weekly newspaper, and others who have gotten on top of this, we're going to be able to get these laws eradicated and get some protection for elderly people. In the meantime, I'm saying don't move here. And if you're thinking of leaving wherever you are to go to one of these wonderful meccas in the desert or wherever on the shore, don't. Stay home where you're safe, because when you leave your home environment and your family, you could find yourself on a beautiful golf course in a great big new house. And as soon as your spouse dies, and that's inevitable, the vultures may circle you and you could be hooked up as being one of these marks. And I'm saying just stay home to the elderly and others who want to come to these Sunbelt cities and retire for the time being till we straighten this out.
Wow. That's amazing. What is the name of your organization? How are you funded?
Well, I'm not funded. I'm just a writer. As far as I'm concerned, I'm just doing this because it's the right thing to do and it's a juicy story. I don't have a dog in the fight, in essence. I'm just reporting on the others. Now, in the book Guardianship by M. Larson, you're going to read dozens of court histories in regard to people who have been fleeced. And some of them are written by myself. Others are written by attorneys who are representing the victims. Some are written by family members who lost their inheritance. And, you know, it's something which you can compile a list of people, and it's easy to prove because there's quite a paper trail. But unfortunately, we're not talking about criminal acts because it's all legal. Everything's legal. The judge signs off on it. The guardian decides, well, I can do a better job than the son or the daughter or the sibling of this elderly person who's been widowed. And that the family members now that are trying to intervene and get their day in court are a bunch of exploiters. And in one case, we had a Fortune 500 company CEO from back east who came out here to try and help his father-in-law who was being fleeced by a guardian. And the court was told by the guardian that this person is unfit and is an exploiter and is an alcoholic and is a drug addict and is a on and on and on. And totally defamed. You can't sue somebody when it's on the court record in the courtroom. And the judge agreed, and they let the guardian fleece the person till the old man died. This is the kind of stuff that we're writing about and we're talking about. We've got documented cases against these guardians. It's going to take, an act of Congress to get these people in jail. It's awful hard to stop them when they've got judges signing off on all this crap.
Do you have any politicians who picked up on this and are making a cause of it?
Yes. Yes, we do. And it took the newspaper here to bring these people out from under a rock, more or less. And I don't want to say that to be derogatory. It just took so long to get any political figures or government officials involved. So now we do have the state attorney general. We do have the county or the district attorney here for Clark County in Las Vegas. We do have the sheriff. We have the police chief in another of our jurisdictions, Boulder City. We have the state attorney general. I guess I didn't, but he's very involved. So we have a number of people, and they're kind of competing to see who's going to get the limelight, who's going to get the credit. And so we've got investigations going left and right on these guardians. Meanwhile, the guardians are running for the hills. One of them skipped town and moved to Pennsylvania and declared bankruptcy. The DA says he's going to bring her back, extradite her back here for prosecution. The main person who has been doing this for at least two decades is still on the street, but he's laying low. And the judges who were making all these phony assignments have all been reassigned to other kinds of cases, but they're still on the bench. And so we have people now who lost their fortunes or in the middle of losing their fortune who are screaming bloody murder, saying, how did this happen to us? And then when they hire attorneys at their own expense, the guardians are able to fleece the bank accounts of their loved ones to pay their attorneys. So you're fighting with your own family's money, against your own family's money. And the guardians are paying their attorneys up to $500 an hour to basically go to a rigged courtroom and win, while the family members hire expensive attorneys and they lose. It's inevitable that the judges are going to rule for the guardians. This has been going on until recently. It hit the newspapers. It hit the 6 o'clock news. And then we got all these politicians involved. And the next thing you know, I guess right now it's kind of a safe place to be. But, you know, we want to put some people behind bars to prove that you can't continue doing this. Because as soon as the heat is off, these guardians are going to resurface, or at least their proteges will. And the scam will continue because it's taking advantage of the weakest of the weak, taking advantage of dead people in many cases, because a lot of them die. A lot of the elderly people die in the middle of the guardianship. The guardian takes everything, and the family members can do nothing, and the courts say that, you know, it's perfectly okay.
God almighty. Boy, it's terrifying. Tell us your name again in the book and the website, how people can get a hold of this.
Right. Okay. My name is Steve Miller. The reason I guess I have a little credibility about this, I was a city councilman here in Las Vegas for some time, and I've been on a number of boards and commissions and appointed to various public positions over my career. But I, before that and after the fact of being in government, I was a radio talk show host and a newspaper columnist. So all I've done after I got out of City Hall was go back to writing and doing radio. And this story popped up back in 1999, and I've been more or less, you know, pushing it ever since, because there, for the grace of God, go you or I, or my parents, and it just makes me sick. So, you know, I'm doing it. The book is called Guardianship. You can buy it anywhere, I guess, or online at Amazon. And it's by M. Larson, Michael Larson. It's called Guardianship, How Judges and Lawyers Steal Your Money. And my column, and I've written a number of stories about guardianship racketeering, is AmericanMafia.com. And I'm Steve Miller. The name of my column is Inside Vegas.
Well, very good, Steve. I want to ask you a quick question out of the blue here. My understanding is that pay attention to this, because I have some personal knowledge of what he's saying, and everything about it is true. I've seen it for various personal reasons, and it's horrifying. And how it can continue in a country like this is just a terrible testament to how corrupt our society has become. It's just absolutely tragic and infuriating. I understand that the state of Nevada has been attacking people who put solar energy on their houses, and now the utility company is turning around and wanting to build a big central solar facility and sell everybody solar energy, even though they won't let people produce it on their houses. Is that true?
Yes, it is, and unfortunately, our Nevada Energy, the power company, I believe it's owned by Warren Buffett, has been dead set against allowing people to have solar panels on their roof. And in doing so, they put Solar City, which is owned by Elon Musk of Tesla fame and Rocket X fame, out of business, which when he did shut down, he had to lay off, I think it was 1,500 Nevada employees. So, yeah, this is really pissing off a lot of people, and especially those who have solar panels who, I guess, you know, they may work beautifully, but they don't get any benefit from it. It's costing them more than if they just plugged into the grid.
Yeah, and this is so ironic because, you know, they want people to have they want to control the energy, and they're fighting solar power, but when it comes to owning it themselves, that's what they want to do. It's really, really egregious. It's amazing. Well, Steve, yeah. You've been a great guest, and again, your book is the book that you're talking about is called Guardianships. How do we get a hold of you personally?
Well, if you go into my column, Inside Vegas by Steve Miller, AmericanMafia.com, my email address is all over my columns, and I'd love to get emails.
Very good. Thank you, Steve Miller, and people, pay attention to this. I'm going to take the last couple of minutes here to talk again about the election. Steve, you're welcome to stay on. Folks, we are in the midst of not only the ugliest, but the most corrupted campaign we've ever seen. The problem with Donald Trump is not only that he is completely unqualified to be president, but that a lot of things he says about Hillary Clinton are true. And, you know, this is a very, very depressing election cycle. And, of course, all eyes are on the presidency, we really need to look at the Senate, especially the U.S. Senate now and all these other the House seats, at especially the state legislatures, because if the Democrats fail to get a working majority in the Senate, then the one really important reason to have Hillary Clinton in the White House, which is to make better Supreme Court appointments, is not going to happen. We have one. We got 3 minutes left. We have one vacancy already in the court. Antonin Scalia, thankfully, gave up his seat. Clarence Thomas may leave. Ruth Ginsburg and Breyer are both very, very old, and even Anthony Kennedy is elderly. So we're looking at 5 U.S. Supreme Court seats, which is unprecedented in American history. And if these senatorial elections are flipped and stripped, stripped and flipped, as in my book with Bob Fitrakis, the strip and flip selection of 2016, all this craziness is going to be for naught. So look today at Reader Supported News and at PRN, where they'll post my piece on Donald Trump's racist rigged election attack. Is an old American story. Look for that. And get yourself knowledgeable, because we are really up against it now. If we can't rationalize and get some decent people on the Supreme Court, we are really in serious trouble. Steve Miller, thanks so much for being with us. And folks, out. Do make a difference in this, because this is one hell of a terrifying election. Thanks to the crew in New York. This is a bit of a joyride here, but I'm glad I got to be able to speak my piece about this. And folks, do go out and vote. And be very careful who you're voting for after you flip one way or another on the U.S. presidency, because there's way more at stake here than this just the White House. We'll see you next week in Solartopia. Have a great week, and we'll talk again about the election as voting proceeds. Thanks again, guys, in New York, and we'll talk to you soon.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we?